I accepted like an invitation from one of them to do some call one time. But then when I was on the call with them, I found out that it was like some sort of scammy type of thing. And I didn't get the right vibe from it. And I was like, no, yeah, it was a good call. I appreciate everything that you're offering. I don't know if I'm interested right now in moving forward, but you know, thanks again. I just had to like kind of awkwardly get out of that. And when I realized I was talking to someone who's just trying to take advantage of me.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Doing the Thing, where we help creators and coaches do their work, earn more money, and grow their audiences. On this show, I track my journey in scaling Grindstone. We'll interview creators crushing it in their space, and I'll try desperately to get you to like me. Hopefully, you can use some of these insights to build your own thing better and faster. I hope you enjoy.
For music, when you're talking about like recreating certain themes, do you ever like what's the process from like a copyright perspective? Like, do you ever get into trouble with that? Because like that, or like covering stuff, or you know, whatever, it's kind of in that same boat, right?
Yeah, that's a good question. I've never worried about it. It's something that I've always had in my head, though. Like, if that ever happens, I guess I'll deal with it when it happens. But I guess the reason I've never worried is because I think it is legal if it's just like a cover, and the fact that I'm just doing it on Instagram and TikTok, it's not like I'm releasing it officially or anything on like Spotify. But I'm working on like original music and stuff that I'm going to release later this year. And I have thought about wanting to do covers and everything, but I haven't dived into like the copyright process of that, because that's one of those things that I don't really understand. But luckily, none of my social media videos have ever gotten copyright stricken. And I think it's just because it doesn't count if it's all just my voice, I guess.
Yeah.
So I'm using the actual audio or whatever. TikTok, I think, would recognize. There was one time when I posted a video where I was singing along to like a saxophone solo. And I had the song playing in the background behind me, and I sang along to it. And I guess that got taken down one time. That I remember that got muted for copyright, but I think it was because TikTok heard the actual song in the background that was playing behind me. So yeah, I think if it's just my voice, I'm safe.
Keep it just yourself. All right, good to know. the other like maybe broader question that I had when we were going through and talking about like early stages till now, or, you know, you wipe everybody's memory, whatever it is, and then you have to start again. I was curious if you could walk us through process for like how you're coming up with the ideas, and then you're taking that all the way to the videos and the songs that you're posting. Just dive in a little bit more to what that process looks like for you.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm kind of always making noises and singing random shit just as I walk around throughout every day. Most of the time it's not video worthy, but a lot of times, since I do it so often, but that's just because that's how I am. I feel like I have a lot to choose from of what I want to try and make into a video, because I'm always kind of just doing noises and stuff, which is annoying to my girlfriend, but she works a lot and I'm home alone a lot. So I just get to make all the noises I want to. And I'll think to myself, oh, this actually sounds kind of cool. I could, like, a lot of it is I'll be singing some song, any random popular song that people know, but like I might be singing it in like a silly way or adding my own stupid shit to it that makes it sound extra when it doesn't need to be. But then I practice that over and over again. Okay, now I've got the notes down really good. It's recognizable. People know what this song is. And also I'm doing it in this over the top way. So that usually works. That's one formula. But also if I'm doing a cover of like, I'll choose something that I feel like something that's nostalgic to me, any movie score or something that I really like, but also that I know there's going to be other people, or at least my following, the age demographic is around my same age, you know, like early 20s to early 30s. And so I like to choose random nostalgic stuff that I know people are going to remember. Oh, I recognize this. I used to watch this. And so I like to play on nostalgia. Yeah, I just whatever song I'm feeling, or I will keep my hand on the pulse of like what is popular on TikTok at the time. Like right now, I've been seeing a lot of the videos where people are recording their food. Doom doom do dip 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 do na da do 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 with that song, you know, what you wouldn't do for love or whatever. Da 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 bum bum. And they're filming their food. And I've been seeing those all over the place. So like recently I looked up that song and I was like, I should cover this. So like I open up Ableton, which is what I make music in, and I will kind of arrange it. So I looked up the song on YouTube and I just listened to it. I do that stuff like by ear. So I just listen to it and I go, okay, here's the bass part, and I'll track the bass part in Ableton, and I'll track whatever parts. And I try and keep it usually four parts if I can, because I don't like to record myself more than four times and edit that. It gets complicated. So anyway, I record it in Ableton so that I can arrange it. And then I record it. All the videos I do are recorded just on my iPhone with just the mic and video on this. A lot of people think that I dub them or that I auto-tune them, but I actually just do a take and I record myself on my phone while I'm also recording myself on my laptop, this is the process. This is the insider process. And then, so I'll do the first take, whichever part of the harmony that I wrote or the arrangement that I wrote, whichever part is the best part to like listen to as reference for melody and pitch and tempo, that's the one I'll record first on my phone and on my laptop. And then when I get that take solid, I'll go to record the other one that's going to harmonize with it. And I'll just play that video on my laptop again at a low volume so I can hear it while I'm recording. And I can stay in key and in tempo with myself of that first take. And then when I edit them all together, you can't hear the laptop audio because it just is very quiet and under the mix. So if that makes sense. So that's how I make those videos. That's kind of how I come up with the ideas. It's just all random. Whatever music I'm feeling like is going to do well at the time, I guess.
Here, I want to try and like summarize it back to you a little bit.
Sure. Sorry, I know it was a long-winded answer.
Well, no. So, I mean, it sounds like you basically got like three larger categories that you're pulling ideas from. There's the sort of just like, I'm randomly walking around doing whatever, you know, people are, you know, my girlfriend hears me. It sucks. Sorry. you know, sing some random lyrics, whatever. And then you've kind of like, that's the throwing stuff at the wall. And eventually you might be like, oh, hey, you know, actually that thing I just did was actually pretty good. Okay. Maybe I'm going to look at that a little bit deeper. Mm-hmm. And then you've also got like, if you've got memories, things that you're like, oh, I really like this stuff, I want to look at it, you pull that in as well, as and then also trends. And so that's kind of like the ideation, if you will.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much random stuff, nostalgic stuff, and current trends. Those are the seems to be the three main categories of the stuff I sing.
When you're digging into these like different ideas, and I don't know if you've necessarily put a lot of like thought into which one you're like digging into more, maybe it just hits you as like a feeling, but like, is there a process where you go like, this is the one, and you start like kind of digging deeper into that one in particular? Does that make sense?
Yeah, kind of. I have a note on my phone in my notes of just like a bunch of ideas, like you know, Transformers, Harry Potter theme, like where I just list a bunch of ones that I think would be good to do at some point. And sometimes it's random. I'll just be like, I feel like I could just pull this one. Let me just do this one. This won't take too long. Because sometimes it's like the process of making the videos can be very tedious and frustrating for me. There are times, rarely, luckily, but like there's definitely times where I waste an entire hour and a half trying to make a video, and then like I'll record all three parts or four parts, and then I learn while I'm editing it, like the first one actually wasn't that good. Like I could do that first one better, but then that means I need to redo all the other ones because I'm doing those in reference to that first one. But I was a little bit pitchy right there. I'm going to do it tomorrow. Like I don't feel like starting over. So like there, every now and then I just give up on a video and I'll redo it like a week or so later. But usually it's just whatever I'm feeling, whatever jumps out to me on my notes app. That seems like one that I could just kind of do that day. But there are also sometimes ones that I've practiced a lot before I actually get to the point of recording it. Like I sang along to a Steely Dan solo, guitar solo from Do It Again in a video from like a couple months ago. And that's a song I grew up with. I love that song. And I know the solo really well. Luckily, I've always known it really well, but I didn't know it 100%. So I had to practice it a little bit. There were certain sections of the solo that I didn't have down already from my childhood that I was like, okay, what is this point? And like for like a week, I was like, playing that, and like I would practice it like three times every day, try to get like two takes that are perfectly all the way through. And then eventually, after like a week or two of like practicing that randomly, whenever I felt like practicing it, eventually I was like, okay, I think I'm ready to record this. So then I just recorded it and did as many takes as I needed to until I got it perfect. But yeah, it's whatever calls to me, I guess, is what I end up doing.
And I wonder, and yeah, this will probably just be, you know, me like postulating out to whatever, like if that's something that you've developed over time, and also kind of like the awareness of the stuff that you want to do as well, and like that combination of those two things. Because I imagine at least some of it is just stuff that you really want to do yourself. It doesn't really matter what the internet thinks, and you're like, I've got the skills, I can just pull it off. Mm-hmm. But I also imagine that there's this side of like, well, like especially with the trends, it's like, oh, I know this thing will do well. And then also speaking to like your formula, this thing will do well if I do it in this particular way that I've done these other videos. So I guess I'm just trying to better wrap my head around like all of that, how to get more towards that.
Yeah. It's hard though, because like I said before, like I'll do something that I feel like is going to do well, or I feel like I'm following some trend or whatever. And it just doesn't work. But then maybe I might repost that 3 months later and then it does work. So some of it's just random, and it's hard for me to actually figure it out. But Yeah, I try to just do what works. And the longer you do it, the longer you make content, the more you'll know what works for you, you know, over time. So luckily, I've been doing it for like 4 years now, so I have a good understanding of what works. But yeah, in the beginning, it was a lot of throwing shit at the wall, but not even at the wall, like posting the shit and then not getting anything. Yeah. So yeah, it just takes some experimenting.
Well, I think in fairness to you, it's been longer than that even, right? Because I mean, early YouTube, I mean, that's...
Yeah.
If,
yeah,
I that, now?
That is part of that too. I guess so. Yeah, that is definitely part of the learning process for sure.
Yeah, I remember the old homepage.
Yeah,
that was a while ago.
Classic.
Cool. Well, I appreciate it. I think that's all I've got for now.
Cool.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This show has no ads, no sponsorships. So my one request is if you're enjoying it, if you're getting value from it in some way, give it 5 stars wherever you're listening. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, MySpace, who cares? Rate it, review it, and it will make me less insecure and help the show reach more creators and coaches so they can start doing as well as you are. Please and thank you, and let's get back to the show.
Well, he mentioned like one part that like really stuck with me, like, you know, when you hired like that person, social media manager in your case, and it really like helped you a lot, took off like a lot of burden that you weren't really familiar with, but you know, you still had to do since you were doing everything solo. Like how do you find somebody that you could trust kind of with your baby? Because, you know, since you were building up your business, you don't want to give it to somebody that's going to like toss your baby in the trash and right. or run off with the baby. So like, how did you, like, did you go to Fiverr? Like, did you like meet them through somebody, you know, like how did you find a perfect person that, well, maybe not perfect, but you know, the person that was good enough that you're like, okay, I can work with them and they will help me grow this baby into like a giant, you know, the Rock or whatever.
Yeah, I'll try to suggest the best I can, but I that's another one of those areas where I kind of feel like I got lucky. I didn't have interest in like a social media, like there weren't any social media managers interested in me until I started getting more of a following, obviously, because that's, I guess, how it would work. Right. I didn't reach out to like any specific website or anything like that. I check my DMs on Instagram often, and I check all of them. Like there's two ways you can check the DMs that people like push to send you, and then you can scroll down and check the hidden ones that are even more hidden for some reason. I don't know. So anyway, I check all my DMs pretty often, as much as I can now, but I get a lot of them. But back when I was getting this social media manager, there had always been, there's a few people that will reach out and offer stuff like that, but mm-hmm. just the way that they're pitching it seems kind of sketchy and scammy.
Exactly. And
so yeah, I would ignore those ones usually. It was a learning process. I accepted like an invitation from one of them to do some call one time, but then when I was on the call with them, I found out that it was like some sort of scammy type of thing, and I didn't get the right vibe from it. And I was like, no, yeah, it was a good call. I appreciate everything that you're offering. I don't know if I'm interested right now in moving forward, but you know, thanks again. I tried to like kind of awkwardly get out of that, and when I realized I was talking to someone who's just trying to take advantage of me. So you gotta fish that out. But I got lucky because it was this guy who messaged me, and when he first messaged me, he was just asking like what I do and like if I had any representation, and I told him I didn't, and I had a call with him. And this was like a year before he actually started representing me. I had a call with him, and he just wanted to know about where I was at in my career. And he wanted to make sure that I was like serious about wanting to like do it, and like, you know, that I wasn't just like a casual person who doesn't really spend too much time or effort onto it.
Right.
I was able to take on what it could become. And so he said like, you know, well, I really like your stuff, man. And you know, if I don't know if we'll be able to move forward right now or anything, but like, you know, you're on my radar, dude. And like, I like your stuff, blah, 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 blah. And if you ever have any questions or anything, you know, feel free to reach out to me. I'll be happy to help. And he just meant like questions about anything, really. Mm-hmm. So 6 months or so passed, and I hadn't really talked to him again. And then 8 months passed, and eventually I decided, yeah, like I was trying to do stuff on my own to get brand deals and stuff. It wasn't really working out as well as I wanted. So I just messaged him again because he had said I could 8 months ago. And I messaged him and I told him, hey, you know, I'm trying to get stuff, and I was wondering if you might want to hop on another call. I would love to pick your brain to see. So I guess it was the way that he approached me that didn't seem scammy. He and the fact that he wasn't like, I want to sign you right now. Like, you know, he didn't seem right. to take advantage of me. It seemed like he was playing it smart also, and in saying like, as long as you're serious, and by telling me like, you know, we weren't going to sign anything or go forward right away. So anyway, that was a good vibe for me that he seemed to be smart and that he was putting thought into it also. So when I reached out to him the second time and we had a good conversation, by the end of that call, he was like, I think I would be down to help you, man. I would like to rep you if you think that you're ready to do some stuff like that. And so that's just kind of how it happened. So I really feel like it was luck with having the right person reach out. But yeah, I'm not quite sure how to get it without, if you don't like already have a little bit of a following. So just try and create the best stuff you can for as long as you can to hopefully get numbers up a little bit so that you can be on somewhat of a radar. And then you start having more people interested, is how it happened for me anyway.
Yeah. I love that story and the power of detachment, right?
They
get on a call with you. They're clearly very attached. They got commission breath. They're trying to make the sale. They're trying to get something. Mm-hmm. And someone comes to you and he's completely detached. And it's also like he was trying to, it's a very powerful, not tactic, but dynamic where he's trying to figure out like, are you worth his time?
Not
because he
didn't want to prove to him, I am worth your time.
Exactly. Yeah. This is excellent. We're coming down kind of to the end here. Colby is here. He is the head coach of Grindstone. My number two, my partner in crime. And I would love to know what have been your biggest takeaways, your biggest insights that you've gotten from Andy on the call.
This is awesome. Thank you so much for being here, Andy. This is so, so insightful. I've had quite a few like pretty big gold nuggets I've taken from this.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's like how it goes, right? Like you don't have to be at the end of the path. You just have to be a couple steps ahead to be able to help guide the people across the bridge, you know? And I so appreciate how you've shown up here in that capacity.
Sure. Yeah.
And along those lines, my big like burning question for you is, so we started the call with you being introduced as a certified goofball, and like as a fellow professional weirdo who's like neurodivergent as all get out, like can't sit still. Tell me a little bit about the process of taking what for many and probably for many years of both of our paths is like perceived as a weakness or a hindrance, and then like finding a way to leverage that uniqueness into a strength that you can share in the entertainment space like this.
That's kind of been my whole life. I learned how to turn this into being the class clown early into elementary. So I was just being I knew I was the weirdo all along when I was younger. And there was bullying and stuff, of course, as there always is going to be if you're a weird kid. But also, luckily, the more confident you are with that weirdness, the harder it is to get made fun of or to be bullied. And so, you know, I dealt with bullying pretty all right growing up. And then by the time I got to high school, I was still the really weird, funny guy, but I was able to like, I was cool with all the different cliques. I could sit at any table of the jocks or the goth kids or the misfits. Like, I don't know. I felt like I was kind of friendly with everybody. And I was just this weird character at the school that everybody had gotten used to by then. And they just knew that this is how this guy is. So having confidence helps, leaning into it in that sort of way. Again, I always just feel like I'm really lucky though. I have two older brothers and a dad that I grew up with that are all really similar to me. So all of us kind of feed off of each other's energy and we develop new ways to be stupid and funny. And you know, we, I don't know. When I discovered, also seeing on TikTok that there were other people who were doing that type of thing. They were just being really weird, but in what seemed almost like a nuanced, not scripted, but like a structured way. They were being weird in like a structured type of way that they knew would work. And I was like, I could do that. I could take my weirdness and like edit it in this way. So it's, yeah. Also knowing trends, like I said before, just knowing how videos are currently made and edited and seeing what other people are doing and what people are responding to. And yeah, finding your own way to do that. It's worked for me, but I feel like I'm winging it all the time.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you've magnified, right? Like, I love how you put that you were able to see other creators like having this nuanced differentness or weirdness. And it's about identifying that difference and that weirdness and then being able to magnify it a little bit and like make it a little bit bigger so that it stands out, man.
And also,
brilliant answer, man. Love that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's the confidence thing too. Not like just not caring, really. I mean, the stuff that I make and a lot of the things I do in the videos, they're just really dumb and embarrassing. And I wonder sometimes if I didn't have a following at all, but all of those videos still were on the account, but I was one of those accounts that only had like 50 followers and each video is only getting like 10 likes, it would look really embarrassing. I don't know if I would do it. So like the fact that I get likes helps, but being unabashedly confident in it and not caring, I think helps give off the vibe that it's not like a forced thing or whatever. And
love it.
And know, yeah, like self-awareness, obviously, knowing that people are going to laugh at me being goofy and I'm going to get comments about how, why does he look like he has 8 people locked in his basement? Oh, his eyes are so dead. Like, it's all funny to me though. I don't take offense to any of that stuff. It's like, I know what I'm doing. I'm doing it on purpose. I'm trying to evoke that type of response. So thank you. Yeah. You know, that's how I look at it.
Love that response, man. Thank you.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you at the end here, a very important question, Andy. What is it like to be best friends with Jack Black?
Dude, that's one of those things that there's where the imposter syndrome really starts to set in. The fact that he follows me and likes my videos, when that happened, I shat my pants when I got, Jack Black is now following you. I was, what the fuck? Dude, he has no idea what an impact he's obviously made on my entire childhood. I mean, of course, my family's all really musical, but like, I know that there's a lot of parts of my mannerisms that have got to be pulled from like School of Rock, watching that every day when I was little. So that is insane, is how that is. And I'm still not used to that. And the fact that he's any bit of a connection to me, it's just fucking crazy. That's all I can say about that. Such a big fan of him. So
I love it. I love it, man. Well, I mean, it's well-deserved. Obviously, your content is insanely good. I'm a fan of it myself. Obviously, I reached out to you last year. That's how we first got connected. And this has been said by a few people on the call in different ways, but I wanted to mirror and double down on how inspiring it is to see a professional creator really exude. It's cheesy, and yet probably the most important thing, I think, in any pursuit around creation. You just have fun, man, and it really seeps through in what you do, what you create, and even you just being yourself here in this hour interview. You are a guy who, you exude it. Like, it's just very obvious that you are having fun with your life and the things that you choose to do with it. That is inspiring. And it's awesome. It's just, it's magnetic. Like, I feel energized by this conversation, and I'm super thrilled for you. Super proud of what you've done, man. And
thanks,
when you finally get to the point that you deserve, you let us know and we will.
I don't know if I'll ever reach that. I feel like my expectations and of what I want to do are always just going to be more and more and more. Is it ever going to be enough? But I got to chill. It will be, just be happy in life with what I've got. It's already all crazy. So, but I really appreciate that, man. I'm glad that I don't come off like some douchebag, because sometimes, well, that I'm, oh no.
I mean, kind of, but I think, you know, this hour was pretty, no. This was awesome. This was really useful, really valuable. And thank you so much for taking this time. And
of course, man. Again, thanks for the invite. And yeah, reach out anytime if you ever want to talk again. I'm down. I like talking to you guys and just talking about the shit that I do. It's fun. So.